One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Bike. It's the Bro Show. It's Lucas and Jacob.
Hi. How's everyone doing?
Hello.
My name's Lucas.
My name is Jacob.
Does the intro say our names or no?
Like it's a bro show. It's Lucas and Jacob. Oh, yeah, it was a little bit redundant then. Sorry, guys.
But people don't know which one is Lucas and Jacob.
Oh,
which
so
one
now
is
they
Lucas
know.
And which one is Jacob?
This is a. I think there's a lot. This episode, I think there's going to be a lot of like first time viewers. I have a feeling something to do with astrology. Like a lot of new fans will be listening to this one. So yeah, like let's do a little introduction. Like I'm Lucas. I'm a visual medium artist and philosopher. And then this is my co-host.
Hey, my name is Jacob. I don't know how to describe myself.
It's kind of hard.
Because whenever my friends and family try to describe me, they say, okay, picture a blank canvas. Get every color from the rainbow. Splash it on the canvas. Get a waffle from the grossest Burger King near you. Rub that on the canvas. And that's Jacob. He's weird. He's beautiful. But do not ever forget, he will love you till God's end.
Oh, that was a beautiful description. I love how you started out saying, I don't know how to explain myself. And then you went on this soliloquy of amazingness. Like, you did that, sister.
Thank you. I mean, again, those are not words that come out of my mouth. Yes, I did just repeat it for you guys, but two of my dearest, closest friends have said that about me, and it does make me chuckle.
I think we talked about this in the podcast before, but whenever Oprah does an interview with a celebrity, she always says, who are you? And then the person's left there like, bitch, I don't know what to fucking say to that. Like, what do you say to who are you, honestly, when you're sitting across from Oprah?
Because
she always says, like, who are you? And then, like, if they say, well, I'm an actor, she says, no, we already know that. Who are you?
So, okay, I've, of course, watched a few of these interviews throughout my life, but I always assume, like, I have to think back to an interview. I should watch one later, but they... What I'm trying to ask you right now is, because maybe you remember more about this than me, they have a well-prepared answer because, like, they're going on Oprah. So, like, what I'm trying to say is after they say, I'm an actor, like, when Oprah says, no, what are you? You know they have a whole paragraph that, like, they've planned. Like they aren't going in just me going in being like, yeah, like, I don't, what?
Also, I just want to do a... apology video really quick. I wasn't calling Oprah a bitch when I said bitch. I was just saying that to the universe. I want to just clarify that.
Can you repeat how you used bitch?
Just, in case you guys didn't catch it, I said, Oprah says this, and then I said, and it's like bitch, but I wasn't saying that to her. I was just saying bitch to the universe.
No, that's the
thing.
You know,
I just want to clarify, because I know some Oprah fans were ready to cut me up.
That didn't register to me, because if you said this, you know that bitch named and then said a name. Then I would be like, okay, you just called someone a bitch. But if you just said, bitch, what? Like, I don't register that in my head as calling someone a bitch. But that's the thing. I'm glad you did that apology.
I just want to make sure.
Because now we won't have to deal with people misconstruing our words.
I just can't have this end up on Pop Crave. Like, Lucas called Oprah a bitch. And then the whole world is mad, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of that answer, it's so funny because that question is like deep, you could say. But then the answer is always very generic because it just goes to someone saying, well, I like to have fun. I'm joyful. I'm a mother. Like, they go into, it's just kind of generic. Like, that sort of question, you would think it would get a good answer, but it doesn't because, you know what I mean? What? How can you answer that?
Yeah, and then I feel like when most people answer, it kind of just, when most people would answer, it kind of just goes into this realm of, like, we all would just answer it the same. So what's the point of answering that
literally
question?
Every human would answer it the same. But speaking of rainbows, like you described in about yourself, last night I was driving and there was a full ass rainbow. From side to side. And Miley Cyrus's new song, Every Girl You Ever Loved, was playing. And
I also saw two rainbows while driving last night. So I saw one rainbow. Okay, wait, I should rephrase this.
And today's Pride Month. Not to interrupt you, but
It probably was the same rainbow, I'm now realizing, but I saw the rainbow. And then there was another rainbow. And okay, it's one of those things where rainbows will always bring me back to being a child. Like, if you ever have known someone that looked at a rainbow and said, Okay, cool. Anyways, what are you gonna do tomorrow?
They have depression.
No, like, I feel like we need to help those people because
I know,
rainbows
we need to reach
are
out.
Actually, like, there's rainbows naturally. Like, from my knowledge, like, the government isn't painting the sky.
Oh, wait,
no,
are they
actually
though?
Actually, a rainbow. No, because
now that you mentioned it, it's all China.
No,
they're projecting stuff into the skies.
You can tell it's not paint. Because, you know, when you look at, like, paintings, you see it's sort of, like, has texture. Whenever I look at a rainbow, it doesn't look like it has that much texture.
Oh, yeah, it's more like a hologram.
But also, when I've seen holograms, sometimes they glitched. But I haven't ever seen a glitching rainbow.
No, they're interdimensional. Let's just be honest. I know there's some sort of science for why rainbows exist. That's all fake. In 50 years, they'll throw that out the door, and they'll say, yeah, I don't know how they created that science, but somehow they make it seem like it made sense, but it actually is just interdimensional light. You know what I mean? It's from another realm. The heaven realm.
Okay.
The model realm. The Every Girl She Ever Loved, the song by Miley realm.
I could see in 9 years, a government official does like an interview, does a press conference or whatever, and they say, okay, the public has been wanting it. We're now going to spend $100 million of the tax dollars for the year of 2032 to discover if leprechauns are real. Okay, and I know the older folk watching are going to be shaking their heads, nodding, but no, we think these leprechauns know stuff about other countries and stuff, and we're going to use the leprechauns.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would actually be interesting because I'm all into the UFOs of it all. But if the New York Times released something saying the military released footage on the radar of leprechauns on the coast of California, I feel like I actually would be like, oh my, I feel like I'd be scared, excited, but I'd be mostly, just happy.
I don't think I'd be scared. I'm not joking.
What if it was this vibe? What if they said, if they haven't always been here, they said they're showing up and they're showing up a lot and they're hurting people. But it depends. Sometimes they have a pot of gold, but it's all like this little way to lure you in.
There'd be a skeptical part of my brain being like, who's releasing these videos? I just don't believe they're harmful. So there would be a skeptical part of my brain being like, they're just saying this so then they have an excuse to lock them all up. So then we think they're bad and we can say they're locked all up because they beat humans up. But I would be so skeptical.
Okay, you're on your laptop. Can you just pull up the song Every Girl You Ever Loved and just play the intro? Because I know a lot of people watching this, they haven't listened yet. And we just need to hear... you guys need to hear the intro and then picture me looking out my windshield seeing a full rainbow. Okay. Because it is actually, this song, she created this feeling that I feel like no other song has created yet.
Okay, so I'm going to play it, but before I play it, so I listened to the song Every Girl You've Ever Loved, and I was coming in with disappointment, but it hadn't even played yet because I was like, oh, so it's just like one of those songs about talking about every girl you've ever loved.
Picture a ballad.
No, and it reminded me of that one. Okay, now I'm not even trying to throw hate on this movie and stuff because it's probably good, but isn't that a movie franchise?
I picture, some like, stupid book where it's like every girl you ever loved and it's me and this is a mystical story and I'm every, like you do picture this vibe that the song is a complete 180, but.
No, I wasn't picturing that. I was picturing, like, because you were talking about every girl, like, But what I was pitching, I think it's something different, is that I was pitching this girl dating this guy and hopefully like, every girl you've ever loved, like, and talking about, like, this is Amanda, this is Catherine, and I don't know, I just hate that.
Oh, wait, that's weird.
I don't even hate that vibe, but for some reason, I was just in this vibe of, I'm so over this.
No, but that's weird that you said you started it with disappointment, because I'm going to walk you guys through me listening to Miley's new album. I was listening to it on the way to Whole Foods, because in our town, that's where you return Amazon things. So whenever you're driving there, you're always kind of in a bad mood, because you know whenever you return stuff, you're just in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah, because it's always this annoying thing being like,
oh, why do I have to do this?
I spent money and then, what? And then
I know.
Not
so
even going to respond to me.
I was in a bad mood. And then also, then I was like, I guess I'll listen to Miley's new album. Like, but then I was listening to it and I was just like, ugh. Like a lot of the songs, I was like, I was just in this bad mood. Like they could have been the best songs. And I'd be like, ugh. But
yeah.
Then finally the Walk of Fame came on the song and I was like, wait. Like I finally like got some joy in my soul. And then a few songs later was Every Girl You Ever Loved, and my whole mood was turned around. I was like, this is her magnum opus.
So I've only listened to this once, but I just remember you told me this song has Naomi Campbell in it, and on Apple Music, it doesn't say it's featuring her. But it's also like Walk of Fame. I just love songs like this. There's probably so many songs like this, but I've only heard a handful of them.
These are the only ones I feel like.
No, what I'm trying to say is I've only heard a few songs where it's like this really sassy person in the background saying things. They aren't singing things. They're just saying things that cool people do.
I know. I was in a bad, if you're ever in a bad mood, turn on that song, because when you hear Naomi Campbell suddenly say, Pose. Like, you're just like, oh my God, like, this is everything. And then she goes on this whole monologue about the girl. Like,
I'll play the intro that you're describing.
Just play the intro. Just stop right there. That's all you need to hear. Those horns. What is that? Is that horns?
Sounds so much like a sample.
I know. The whole song just gives me the vibe. It gives me so many vibes. It gives me my past life as a sociopath in South Beach, Miami. And I was like a model. Like, that's what one vibe it gives me. It also gives me the vibe of I'm on a CW show in 2004. Like, it also gives me a vibe of I'm competing on America's Next Top Model in 2001. Like, there's so many vibes this song gives.
I would just love, like, you, I just am so curious, like, what my life would have been like if I still would have been like, I just want to know what my life would have been like if I would have been 18 in the year 2000, just because I could see this world where I could totally see a world where I had a more traditional life or something, but I could also see a world where, like, because the internet wasn't as popular or, like, barely a thing, well, I would have been like, yeah, I think I'm going to try to become a model. And like, actually, just, like, once I graduated high school, like, even if I didn't have that much money, I would have drove to, like, the city where they were doing auditions. But I just wish I would know. What I'm trying to describe right now is that I wish I could know what would have happened. Because I don't know if I would have had enough bravery to do that. But yeah. I could definitely see a world where I would have been delusional enough to think, like, yeah, like, I'm not from Milan. Just because in the year 2000, that's what's also beautiful about the year. And now, obviously, we're all over people romanticizing the past. But I think what also could be beautiful about it is that there's less stuff online that you can compare yourself to. For example, so you see these models in the magazines in the year 2000. But nowadays, you see these models on Instagram and stuff, and there's way more people. And you think, like, maybe there's not enough room. But back in the day is what I'm trying to say, is that you just would see, like, one model on Vogue and be like, okay, they're my only competition.
I know, it's like, wait, I think I could do it. Yeah, I feel like that's what's crazy is people pay hundreds of dollars to find out their past life, but listening to that song, I actually think I found out one of my past lives. I was born in 1993, and I'm pretty sure I died in, like, 1986, and I spent a lot of my youth in South Beach, Miami in the 80s, wearing a Speedo, modeling, and I was just like, I was supposed to be the it boy, but then I died. How I died yet.
Do you think that's a past life? Or I thought of another theory. Do you think it's other people's lives in it? And it kind of goes into, like, the joint consciousness thing.
I think it was my specific past life, because I just know I was wearing a Speedo in South Beach in the 80s. I died at a ridiculously young age. Took a few years off with Jesus, came back in 1993, and here I am. Oh. And just play the intro one more time, because I need somebody with knowledge to reply, to comment. What era is this? Is this the 80s? Is this the 90s? Is this the early 2000s CW? Is it all of it together?
To me, it's reminding me of like the 70s, this sound. But...
just tell us, somebody. Play the intro. Oh, my, that noise.
There's a song that like a... there's a song that's like a pretty old song that has a noise similar.
It kind of reminds me of that song we heard on the last cruise we went on where I said it was kind of like a depressing vibe. Because it is this, when you hear that horn, it like is a visceral reaction where it almost is depressing, but it's mostly just beautiful.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying in depressing, with the depressing thing, because it reminds me of like this world or this time or this era that never will happen again. But it's cool that Miley's trying to create it.
I think we're both, me, you, and Miley, it's all about mourning my past life.
Yeah.
As a model in South Beach in the 80s. But the song I'm talking about that we heard on the cruise ship is the one that goes, does that even describe
no,
it?
Yeah, like there's a
it's
few
like an
80s people,
song.
Like, I like everyone knows it, but like there's a few people that got like,
I don't know if I recreated it well enough, but it's just oh, that's what it is. That song is so depressing, but like, I think it's because I'm thinking of my past life as a model in South Beach in a Speedo, and like, I'm just thinking about my wasted potential. Like, I was supposed to be the It Boy, but then I died on a jet ski.
That is super sad.
I know you drink a little bit too Clé-Clo. You drink a little bit too much Clé-Clo on the yacht. You go on a jet ski,
so,
and you die.
So what? Because, no, I'm not trying to like project my thoughts, but you could tell me if I'm wrong. Is this more of like a, you're using other older gay people's money to fund your life? Or
it was just like the modeling agency, I think, in the past life. Like, I wasn't like a hooker or anything, but I was just like on a yacht with like the head of Vogue, and I was like ridiculously thin. But like healthy. It was just my natural, that was my homeostasis. And that's why I was the It Boy.
I could picture you said who with Vogue was with you?
The head.
I feel like this is what the head of Vogue gave you, and that's why you had so much confidence. This is what gave you the most confidence in your entire life. What's your name in this life?
Oh, I don't know if Edward? I discovered that. Maybe. I was getting more of Antonio.
Okay, so Antonio. You have everything for Vogue. You could be on the cover of Vogue, but it's 1979. You're too ahead of your time. We don't think the world would accept you, but we want to use your creativeness for other projects. You won't be the face of it this lifetime, Antonio.
Oh my God, I just found out Antonio, my,
do you think
myself,
that would have happened
that
or no?
Did, and that opened up another memory from my past life. I was the muse for one of, I can't think of his name, the Versace guy?
Gianni.
I was the muse for one of Gianni's seasons in South Beach, Miami.
We probably talked about this sometime in one of our chronicles or whatever, but when I say I'm in love with this guy, I'm talking about more the story. I'm not talking about actually, like, okay, but anyway, I just was in love with the story that waiter at the Gianni Versace mansion was telling us.
I don't think we ever talked about the former model. Oh my God, you guys, I might have to throw in my past life. I think I might be describing his life.
Yeah.
The waiter we met.
Because your story is kind of weirdly resembling his story, because, except he's still alive, in your story you died.
Yeah, maybe like, yeah, something. Maybe we're joint souls. But this waiter, I don't think we ever talked about this. There was a waiter at the Versace mansion years ago, and we went there for my 30th birthday. And we were having a lunch there, just the Versace mansion. And then the waiter, I asked him, I'm like, so did you know like Gianni Versace? Or did I ask? I think I asked him that, right?
No, yeah, I think you did. Yeah, yeah, that's what I started.
Oh, you could tell he was so excited somebody asked. Because he was like 50, and he was like a good-looking older man. And then he got out his phone, and then he showed me his modeling photos for Versace in the 90s.
No, yeah. So what happened is you were asking him that, and he said yes. And then what made me so excited is that we could all tell he wasn't annoyed that you asked that, because he still had work to do solving people. But then every now and then he'd bring over his phone and say, yeah, these are the photos. Yeah. And he actually was in these Versace
ads. He literally said he was in South Beach, Miami in the 90s and Gianni discovered him. Or maybe the 80s, because when did Gianni die? I'm not sure, but it was one of those decades.
He died in the 2000s, right?
Actually, I'm not sure. But he got discovered, handpicked by Gianni, and he showed us the modeling photos. And then he actually went on my Twitter and followed himself. But I think I might have unfollowed him since, because he was tweeting about, like, I forgot what it was, but I just unfollowed. But he went on my Twitter for some reason and followed himself. I forgot why. I think he was just like, I think it was because joint souls. So he was like, you were there too.
This is what happened. He wasn't using his phone. He said, pull up Twitter on Lucas's phone. And then I think he took Lucas's phone, Googled his, went on his Twitter account and showed the photos. And then we looked at the photos, said, oh my gosh. And then he took your phone and followed himself because, well, I guess, what I'm trying to say is that he didn't just go on Lucas's phone and type in his username on Twitter. We were on his Twitter looking at his photos.
That's how it all happened.
Yeah, so it made sense in the scenario.
Let's take some time to talk about the sponsor, Hims. For men, dealing with ED can be uncomfortable, which is why Hims provides access to a comfortable solution with an all-online process and personalized treatment options. No awkward doctor's office, no waiting room full of outdated magazines, just real ED treatment that actually fits your life. Hims is changing men's healthcare by making it easier than ever to get access to doctor-trusted sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch.
That includes options like chewable tablets, Viagra, Cialis, and their generics for up to 95% less than you normally pay. Here's how it works. Fill out a quick online intake form and a medical provider will determine the right treatment for you. If prescribed, your meds ship right to your door for free. No insurance needed. One low price covers it all, including ongoing care. Thousands of men already trust Hims to help them stay ready when the moment strikes. And you can too. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/LucasJacob.
That's HIMS.com/LucasJacob for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/LucasJacob. The featured products include compounded products which are not approved nor verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Okay, just one last time. Play the intro for a little bit longer and then just picture this waiter in the early 90s getting discovered by Gianni Versace. You can just feel it all. It's all coming back.
I feel like the more that we talk about this, is it like a movie or something? Because I swear that's what always happens. And like, I'm picturing the idol with Lily Rose Depp. Like when she like becomes a star, I picture like that's the soundtrack.
I know. That sound is just that. That's the exact feeling. But then if you listen to that song, the bridge when Naomi does her monologue, it's just good.
Yeah.
That's just so weird that Naomi Campbell's a supermodel. Then she also talks like that. It's just so weird. Like, does she purposely talk like that? Like, to make herself sound chic? Or is she actually just a born supermodel and, like, that's her natural voice?
No, so I think she is supermodel material, obviously. But when
she's the supermodel.
Yeah, but what I do think is that it's a little bit purposeful. Mm. I don't think it does not... I don't know. I just don't really believe that'd be natural. I feel like, but I feel like she's one of those people that she's really good at creating it. Like, not many people can do that, I think. But maybe it is natural and I just don't have that. So I'm secretly jealous. I don't know.
But it's just so funny when she does her monologue and says pose, because I'm just picturing, like this CW show and like there's this model and then this is the agent, like, describing her and just, they're like viewing this model as this magical creature and saying like, she'll never break a sweat. Like, it's actually just another worldly supermodel being born.
That's why that song is so... I'm kind of in love with the idea of how that song portrays like this Miley Cyrus supermodel woman person, but it portrays it in this way that makes them alien-like.
Yeah, not even human.
Yeah, because like I think there's a line where she says... dances all night but doesn't break a sweat, and it's so funny because like when I have a dancing night, like after 5 minutes I'm already a poop person, like sweat everywhere, and like I will keep dancing, but like I'm breaking so many sweats.
I also was so happy when I heard that song because you know Miley's vibe whenever she's at an award show is always like, I'm wearing the archival Versace gown from the 80s. And like, she finally made a song that matches her personality.
That's okay. No, okay. I think Miley needs to lean so much into that because it's true what you're saying. I've thought that too. Like, you see these interviews with her and she is like so into fashion. Like, she seems like she loves it so much and she's so invigorated by it. And it's cool that like, there's a few songs on this album that I feel like reflect that.
Oh yeah,
and in a song, and like she's been making music like this for years. Like Catitude, like that has like fashionista energy.
Oh yeah, that does. But Walk of Fame
is the next. Well, that's actually my favorite song, and the reason why I love it is just because it's a really good song. So many like cool elements, and it feels like a whole experience because I don't know about a lot of them, but a few of the songs are like. I feel like I always view a song as an experience if it's like 5 minutes or longer.
Oh yeah, they have such long outros that like they just continue the world.
Yeah, there's like this person in the background saying like, you'll live forever. And it's talking about a famous person because like they'll be in movies that people will watch forever and stuff. And it just is so funny because it's like what I was saying about the supermodel thing. It's not even reality, but I like how these songs are invoking like this other award where it's like, you're a celebrity, you're on the Walk of Fame, you're everything to everyone.
And like, it's literally, like, you're
that's
in a CW
such
show.
A funny vibe. would you be have a star on the Walk of Fame?
No, I'm picturing a character, like the world that these CW shows from the early 2000s created is kind of like that vibe. Like there wouldn't be a guy in the show being like, you'll live forever in our hearts. What even is that? Is that a sample or is that for the song?
I don't know. It's Brittany Howard, though, it says on Genius. But I don't know it. Yes, I was wondering the same thing. Is that literally made for that song? Or is that a sample? Did you also hear, because I watched her interview with Jimmy Kimmel, and did you hear that she said that? So we haven't watched this, but she made a whole like movie for the album, and I'm pretty sure it's like a music video movie. Like, it doesn't have like an actual plot, she said.
I remember her saying it was going to be a visual album. So is that coming out in movie theaters or something?
She said like for one night it did. So maybe it did go to like our AMC. I don't know. For one night.
Oh.
But she said that so she was filming on the Walk of Fame. I'm just going to do the whole interview. anyway, so she said that the budget, like they didn't have enough of a budget. And they said like, how are we going to film on the Walk of Fame? And she said like, we're just going to do it in the middle of the night. Because they didn't have enough budget, I guess, to like actually buy out the Walk of Fame. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But she like was filming it and like laying on it and stuff. And then I guess like a few weeks later or something, she had to go to the hospital because she had like some illness or something.
I saw a quote of that where she got like some flesh-eating virus.
Yeah, I just thought that was so interesting. Like I always knew like, oh yeah, if you like Times Square is disgusting, but I guess like I haven't seen the movie, but it sounded like she was like laying around in it and stuff. But it grosses me out to another level. And like, I don't know if you could technically trace back what she has exactly to the Walk of Fame. It could be anything, I guess. But still, like, I can't believe these streets around like these huge cities are so disgusting that you can get like whatever she said, flesh eating or whatever, like this bacteria. Like that makes me disgusted.
I know. It's so gross. Not such a good dichotomy of the whole thing, the Walk of Fame, where the Oscars are. And then if you touch the ground there, you'll literally die if you aren't treated by a medical doctor. It'll eat you alive.
If you connect the dots, like, are those Illuminati people not lying? Because it kind of makes you think, like, these celebrities are so evil that if you touch their star, you'll get a flesh-eating bacteria.
I know, or like, maybe it's the soul of, like, another old Hollywood legend, like, they're so bitter and they're dead and they haven't moved to the other side and they're trying to attack Miley because like they want to like live through her and they want to kill her. Like,
that's probably what it was.
I think it was like, who died? Michael Jackson. It's him. His, and not all, who do you, I feel like it was one of the Beach Boys. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, okay, but this album, so first of all, let's talk about the rollout of the album. I haven't fully dove into the album just to give a preface, but just from the rollout of the album, I was immediately like so excited for the album because she's one of those people where like right now she's not actually on social media. It gives the vibe of like a team's doing it, but it felt like it was like a rollout of a movie because it said like this cover was made, the outfit is made by Mugler. It has a film along with it. Like, it just felt so... Like, it felt like so much effort was put in, so that made me excited.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't fully dived into the album either. I did listen to the whole thing, but I've only been listening to Walk of Fame and Every Girl You've Ever Loved. I feel like Every Girl You Ever Loved would be like my most played song this year.
Let's see what the future says.
I know, I wonder if it will be a phase or if it's going to hold.
I feel like Walk of Fame does have potential for
and
me.
Walk of Fame. Those are like sister songs. Like, they both have the same energy. Like, you could play the intro to Walk of Fame, maybe.
Okay, but also...
Because it's so they can kind of understand how they evoke the same energy.
Walk of Fame is one of the funniest lines to me is that Brittany Howard person says, I think it's her. She says a delusion. And then Miley Cyrus says after that, when I walk on the concrete, it's the walk of fame. And it just made me think of someone walking on concrete, just on a sidewalk, and then being like, just concrete is like kind of like gross. It's not gross, but it's like so manufactured and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the walk of fame.
Every time she walks, it's the walk of fame. Okay, this is the intro to Walk of Fame, guys, just so you can kind of feel the same energy.
There's an ad, that's why. It's not playing right.
Oh.
No, it's... You know what? We're giving Miley, like, 2 cents right now.
Oh, yeah, so. Her label's getting paid. Is that the same, like, note, even?
Wait. Should we just hold you and do a little deep dive? Because is that actually the same thing?
I know, because they're both like the same exact emotion. They're sister songs.
No, they for sure are.
Can I play the other one?
Okay.
Oh, they are kind of the same.
Oh, they're like, it's like the same. But this one, okay, the intro of Walk of Fame sounds more like a voice, and on Every Girl You've Ever Loved sounds more like an instrument. But
yeah.
Maybe they're both,
also, it kind of gives the vibe of Every Girl You Ever Loved to be the first episode of the CW model show. And then the finale of the first season would be Walk of Fame, because that gives more of a finale energy, Walk of Fame. Like,
oh,
you'll
live forever. You've achieved it, you know?
Yeah, but like, so I picture their life is broke and everything's wrong. But then all of a sudden the billboard lights up and it's like, you'll live forever.
No, that's what's also funny about these songs is because I feel like, if I really think about why I like them, is because they're brilliant. They're like good songs, but also I just love the vibe of what you're saying, because that's actually what I kind of picture. I picture these people with these messed up lives, like this, like just all this stuff that's bad. And then like what you said, they finally get a billboard, and it's like, that's what I want. You'll live forever.
All right. Well, yeah, we love the album.
One of my, it's a single, but Under the World is really good.
Oh, that song is great.
Because it is kind of the Under the World, so she released it at the perfect time.
I know, right before the world ends. But you know what? Even if the whole world does end and we all die, it'll still be like, you'll live forever, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, it'll be like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
So what other topics do we have?
Well, you were mentioning like that cruise ship song, so I'll go into that topic. So when we do these traveling videos, there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't end up in the videos. And how about we both, no, you don't have one memorized, but just while I'm talking, try to think of one. We should both just do one funny moment from one of these travel videos that neither of us have talked about.
Didn't make the cut.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the funny moments was we were on Utopia the Seas, which... Like, okay, first of all, if you watch that video, but I don't know what you... I watched the video, but did you say that it lived up to Party of the Seas? Because it actually was Party of the Seas.
Oh, I think I did say, yeah, because like even by the last night, we didn't even go to the ship party because we were just so partied out by that point. So, I mean, it is the Party of the Seas.
Yeah, we were on an island that one of our friends owns. That's just the Royal Caribbean island. And yeah, they have this one like pool pout and like... We were in like a Congo line or whatever.
Yeah, through the pool. Everyone's peeing in the pool, obviously. No one's getting up to go to the bathroom.
It's literally all adults in this section just drinking. And yeah, I was just trying to enjoy the cha-cha line. And then goes behind Lucas just saying like, cha-cha, whatever you do. But then this random guy looked at me and said, and like he said it in a funny way. He said, he pointed at me and said, he's a serial killer. And then immediately, I just... Okay, 100%, this guy didn't kill the vibe because he was saying it in a funny way, but then I started to realize, like, wait, I have to, like, look at my face because am I, like, smiling in this way? Because I was, like, genuinely happy, but was I, like, smiling in this way that felt like it was a mask that, like, I was covering Alvis? I don't know.
Like, evil serial killer energy?
Evil spirits.
It's so funny that you're in a Congo line, like, is it Congo or Conga? Whatever.
Cha-cha
slide line.
Yeah, I don't even know. One of those wedding type things.
And like it's all happy. You're so smiling. And then somebody in that moment says, you are a serial killer. That's just such a random thing to be told, you know?
I know. Like that's the thing is that I didn't like how he said that because it just made me think like, why do you have to say that?
And then it kind of gives the vibe of like, wait, does everyone here who doesn't know me think I'm a serial killer?
No, yeah, because then it does kind of give that vibe. Like, do I just have serial killer energy? And also, like, what does having serial killer energy mean? Like, that's so bad.
That is so funny. That's just so funny.
He even felt
compelled to say it, though, you know?
I know, that's what's also funny. It kind of gives the vibe.
Now that I think about it, somebody has told him that. So he wanted to get it off himself and put it on someone else, you know? Why else would you even think of saying randomly someone passes you in a pool and saying you give serial killer energy? Like, I feel like it's been said to him.
That's the thing is because I feel like if I saw someone creepy, I feel like I'm not the type of person to say something to someone's face, but I would like tell Lucas like that person gives creepy energy, but saying serial killer energy, that's like a whole other level.
I love that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't included in the video.
That was
one of the most dramatic moments of this year. I'm trying to think if I can think of any.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
The only thing I can think of is it's a thing I wrote down in there, but just a funny thing that happened with my finances.
Oh, wait, what's that?
So I was at the DMV because I got a new car, as I said. Getting the registration, is that what it is?
Yeah, you pay taxes and registration.
Yeah, and it's always like a big chunk of money whenever you get a new car.
Yeah, because it's literally like, is it like 4% or 3% of the car?
Yeah, something like that. And she was like, the girl at the DMV was like, so how do you want to pay? And I was like, oh, debit card, because a credit card, you have to pay a fee. So I did the debit card, put in my PIN, and then it said error. And then I told her, I'm like, oh, crap, I thought I put the right PIN in. And she said, the PIN's right. But it just doesn't have enough funds. Like, she actually called me out. I loved it. Like, she didn't, like, let it slide. Like, you know, like, maybe I actually thought I put my PIN in wrong because I never used my debit card. But she could have just been like, okay, I'm going to let him think that I don't know there's not enough funds. But she actually pointed out, she said, the PIN was right. So then it was just like, you don't have enough money for this.
That gives... I kind of get why she said it, because she works at the DMV and like she just didn't want to waste any time because, you know, some people would have tried it like 5 times.
Oh, that's true. So she was like, girl, the PIN was right. So either are we going to do a payment plan or what's going on?
But I think it was a mix of two things. Like, it obviously was what I said. Like, she just wants to just get things moving. But it also was like, let's do the Walk of Fame and let's do a little shade moment.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, you don't have enough funds. But so I had to do my credit card, but I should have put money into my debit account or whatever. But yeah, I just love how she called me out.
I know, stuff like that is always awkward because we all have a scenario where like you use a credit card or something and then it says air, and then it's like always so scary because it's like, what if like none of my cards are gonna work? And like, so what I'm trying to talk about, if you like are getting dinner and let's say dinner was like $30, like I know I have $30, but like it's always kind of scary when one of them says air, because then I get to this world where like, wait, what if I'm like actually like, like, what if I actually have no money and I don't know?
Yeah, but also, what would happen? I always wonder, like, what would actually happen at the DMV? I'm assuming they would just put you on a payment plan. But if you were at, like, Chili's and you got a $100 dinner with some people and then no one's card worked, like, does anyone in the comments know, has this happened to you? Like, I want to know what the protocol is. I know, like, the classic thing is I'll make you wash the dishes, but like,
that's
is it
true.
A thing where it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Timothy Chalamet and you're stuck working there?
Yeah, I would be so curious because does it get to a point? Well, let's say, no, but let's say for this scenario, you're in an empty Chili's. It just is you and two of your friends. Could you, if the waiter or waitress is nice, could you say like, can I like Venmo you the money and then you pay for it? Because like,
I just don't really get it. Like, what would they do? Like, how do they? They can't just let you leave. But then again, I guess they would. Did they call the police? That seems so dramatic. Like, I just want to know what the somehow I feel like they like they take your ID or something. I feel like they have to do something where you have to pay it.
I could see this isn't in like the Chili's policy, but I could see some waiter and waitresses just do a thing where they say, "I'll take your ID." Because I'm pitching a scenario where someone says, is trying to be accommodating and says like, okay, I'll go to the ATM or like get money from someone else. And then they'd be like, okay, come back.
What if you actually don't have the money though? Like what if it's like these like college kids and like they actually don't have the money in their bank account? None of them do. They can't go to an ATM. They can't Venmo. Like I just want to know what is the protocol at a Chili's type place? Like, do they just say, like, you're going to have to pay it. We're starting a payment plan and it has interest on it.
Does Chili's actually do payment plans?
But they want to just let you off the hook. Because imagine how many, like, I picture, like, these high schoolers going into Applebee's and being like, we don't have enough money. And it's like, well, you got to pay.
And then, like you said, I feel like it's definitely a thing where, like, they aren't going to call the police. Because I'm pitching the bill's $25. It's like...
It seems so dramatic to call the police.
Obviously, you need them to pay the money, but it's like, what... You're going to call the police for that,
though? Like, somehow they make it so it is, like, attached to your credit score or something, and it's kind of like you now are, like, there's a debt collector after you, you know?
What if they... I don't know what it's called, but I remember, like, hearing that, like, having this one type of thing is, like, really bad because it ruins your credit score. But what if it actually did turn into a thing where, like these people go to your house and, like, they try their hardest to get that $25.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, I would hold you. Yeah, like, hold you hostage. But, yeah, this has happened to somebody when they were in college or something. So let us know what actually happens.
Yeah, and if someone does let us know, we're going to mention it on the next episode because I want everyone that listens or watch this podcast to know, like, what happens.
Yeah, feel satisfied when they get an answer next week.
Have you ever heard about any dining and dash stories throughout your life that, like, a friend told you or anything?
No. I'm actually kind of surprised I never did that in high school. Because I feel like I would have been like, me and my friends would have just been annoying and tried it or something.
I feel like one of the reasons you probably didn't is because it was a small town. Like, maybe let's say if you grew up in Detroit, like I could see maybe like if you think you might have done it, I could see it would be more likely in a bigger city because you could go to a restaurant way on the other side where like no one knows you. Who, like, what height? I don't know.
It is
so
weird that we live in a society where everyone always locks their car. We lock our front doors. But, like, we still live in a society where you don't have to put a credit card down when you get to Applebee's.
I know. We've said that so many times in, like, just our lives. Like, that's fascinating to
me. I know,
because,
like, these restaurants are so busy. You can get up and go to the bathroom. Like, it'd be so easy to leave.
Oh, especially, like you said, a busy restaurant. Like, I know there's cameras and stuff, but, like, if you don't care that much about, like... Like, if you aren't that, I feel like some people just don't give any shits. If you're one of those people, like, they could easily just walk out when it's so busy. And I'm guessing if the bill isn't that much, if it's like $500, they probably would do something. Yeah. But if it's not that much, they probably would, you'd probably get away
Maybe
with
they
it.
Have people ready to pounce. So, remember at Disney World? It wasn't us, but it was somebody we saw. They did leave one of the restaurants without paying. And the second they left, somebody came out with the receipt and said, you didn't pay.
But Disney World's like, I get
they would
it
have
with
that
them
lock.
Because like they, you know they have every situation locked.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe I feel like it's just an Applebee's. They wouldn't have somebody ready to do that.
Yeah. I feel like they wouldn't. But yeah, I do. I remember what someone told me that like they knew these two people that just ate at a restaurant. And then like right when the bill was coming, they like just ran out and like someone tried to run after them. But they... Like, once they got to a few blocks, they just kept running. And
so like, I feel like I would never want to do that because I'd feel like even 10 years later, I'd be like, are they going to catch me?
Oh, no, I would. Yeah, I wouldn't do that because I would always be, I'd be scared. Like, it would be annoying even walking past the restaurant.
I know. Because... That's why, like, you always, like, that's so good when parents are, like, when parents shame you so much for your first robbery experience. Like, I remember being at a grocery store and stealing chocolate when I was, like, 4. And mom, like, shamed me so much and said, like, that is horrible. And, like, I think she made me go and apologize to the people and stuff. So, like, that taught me, like, I'm never going to steal.
Oh, no, I'm, like...
So you got to shame your kids' parents.
I'm glad that, like, we did have a mom that like really shamed us for stealing. Because I feel like every child, I don't fully remember, but I
did you ever rob?
If I remember it, it felt like multiple times, but it could have only been one time.
It always was like candy, yeah, right?
That's what I was literally pitching at the checkout. You know, I was always so obsessed with Tic Tacs. I haven't had them in years. I should have them. And like, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was sometimes a thing where like, our mom would say like, what I was about to say was our mom would say, bitch, you can't have that. By the way, but it's funny because that's an example of the Oprah thing. Like, that wasn't literal, Alex. She never said, bitch, you can't have that.
Bitch,
but she gave that vibe of, you can't have a Milky Way today, or TikTok today. But I'm pretty sure, like, I just have it just, like, rings such a bell where, like, I would grab the TikToks and then, like, yeah, basically she would say, like, that's horrible. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
And, I feel like, but it's so interesting because then, like, it kind of opens your eyes to, like, why some people when they're teenagers are, like, grab places because, like, if we weren't shamed for grabbing, like, it would be more of a vibe of, like, no one even
cares. Can you imagine if instead I robbed the chocolate or you robbed the Tic Tacs, then a mom said, oh, they didn't catch us this time. Like, I feel like that would create a whole different mentality. I probably would be always robbing.
Oh, I feel like I would still be a robber if my mom said, I get it!
She said, we got him! Wait, Omar, you did that. Good job.
Scam the billionaires while Wama, who cares?
I literally would still be at my age going into Abercrombie and trying to steal a pair of jeans if that happened.
Yeah, because like, there's so many stories where like, people steal, but it's not even because they can afford it. They just like the thrill of stealing.
Yeah, kleptos.
There was one time we were at a Walmart way back in the day, and like, I'm pretty sure it was the Diary of a Wimpy Kid DVD. This was after that Italian restaurant, and we had to stay there for 20 minutes. And it was like, everyone that's younger than you in the family, you were driving, and like, they actually thought we stole it, but you actually bought it.
But I still didn't have the receipt?
I think this is what happened. This is so funny. You were like 16, but we got the Diary of Wimpy Kid DVD, and then we all went to the arcade. And
at
then
Walmart.
At Walmart. Some of them still have an arcade. And then you, I'm pretty sure you, I remember they were asking you questions, and you said, oh, I left the receipt in the arcade. And then I'm pretty sure, like, we were there for 20 minutes, and they just had to, like, look at the cameras or something.
That's
funny. Yeah, like, you didn't actually steal it. But that was, like, a funny scenario where they actually, like, thought we stole it.
Like, I don't really remember that weirdly. You think I would? Like, I remember that night, like, going to the Italian place, seeing the bugs in the food, going to Walmart. But I don't remember that part.
We were eating at this Italian restaurant, and I remember being so dramatic, like, telling our mom when we got home, like, I am never going to eat food again because there was bugs in our food. Like, and I remember actually thinking, like, yeah, I just don't think
I'm going to
eat
again. But didn't we still eat it? Because I remember that this was this Italian place that I loved. And I remember there was a bug, and I was like, I get it. It's an old building. Like, but I remember it was kind of the vibe of it still. We still ate it, right?
Like, I think that's the thing. I'm pretty sure, like, and didn't they kind of, wasn't this kind of the vibe, if I remember right? We saw an ant, and we were like, who cares? But then it kind of kept happening.
Oh, yeah, because it was this type of pasta dish that has so much pepper in it. And then it was like, we saw one pepper move, and it was like, ew, that's gross, but whatever, it's an old building. But then it was like, wait, are all the peppers moving?
Yeah, and then, I think that's what happened. It like, built up, and then it was like, this is disgusting.
Oh, but that's so weird, because I still want to eat that Italian place. Oh,
my God. I know, because I'm in a vibe right now where, like, that's why I was joking about my little kid self being so dramatic, because I'm in a vibe right now where it's like, if the food's good, if there's only, like, three ants, it's like, just take it out.
And it's like, it's not a chain, it's like a more of a local place. It's like, okay, they have an ant infestation, like that happens, you know?
I think as a society, like, we should start creating boundaries for ourselves. Like, if a location only has five or less locations and they do have something like that, please don't write a bad review.
I know, it's like, girl, just inform them about the ants and they'll fix it.
Yeah, if it's Applebee's, I'm totally down for you to write a one-star review because they can handle it. But if it's a, like a mom and pop business, just tell them. And like,
and
don't
if it
throw
seems
this whole
so,
bit.
If it's so good, like this place.
And they actually care.
Oh my God, that food was so good.
So another topic was, okay, so we were at the movie theater. No, this is like such a small thing that happened this week, but I just wrote it down in the podcast notes like after it happened because I kind of want to just deep dive into it. So it was this movie, it's this type of movie theater where like they've always had this chair in the lobby that's like a superhero chair. I don't know if it's a recreation from a movie or something. Yeah. I'm not sure. But no one ever sits in this chair because it seems like it's decoration.
Yeah, it's like a display.
Yeah, so then we were leaving the movie and there was a guy sitting in that chair. Now, I'll say my experience, and then you can say yours. So I know it's impolite to stare, but I probably stared at this guy for five seconds. And he wasn't looking back at me. And you know, first of all, that's already weird. You know how most time when you stare at people, they actually like notice it right away? Because we all have that fifth sense or whatever. But he wasn't looking at me. And then he was staring directly. He wasn't even blinking, gazing at this one thing. I don't even know. And then I just remember thinking, like, no one's ever sat there. Like, is this like some social experiment? I'm confused.
And then he did look at us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, at the very end.
I know, and it was so weird because I noticed him too as we walked out, and then I was like, wait. Also, he kind of looked like a movie star. Like, it was just like this 60-year-old man, but like the type of 60-year-old that was in movies, you know?
He had like one of those like Jason Momoa type vibes.
Yeah, and I remember just thinking like, oh, that is weird. Why is he sitting there? But I didn't really think anything of it. But then when you mentioned it in the car, I'm like, that's so weird that you also took note of that, because like, I was like, wait, what did happen? Was that, like, I started thinking, like, was this all, like, a hidden camera thing? And, like, because this is a pretty big movie chain. Like, what if it's, like, promo for the movie being, like, he's going to sit in the display for his new movie and see if anyone notices in a random Midwest town? Like, I feel like it was something.
And definitely, like, what made it weird was we didn't talk about it until after it happened. And we both actually just thought, like, oh, that's, like, a weird, like, that's weird.
I know.
So then when we both thought it does like link this connection where it's like, I'm just confused now. And then it does kind of, and then it probably isn't true, but I was kind of thinking maybe the most logical thing is they were trying to do like promo for the movie. It's going to be like a trailer when they play that movie or something.
Couldn't you see that? Like if it was Chris Hemsworth, for example, it'd be like, this is the Thor setup at AMC. He's standing in it. Will anyone notice? Like that actually would be a good idea for like the Ellen show.
I know. Yeah. Or like even just for like promo for the movie for him to post on social media or something.
Actually, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so we might be in one of those guys. I don't know what movie it was for. I have no idea, but... We probably wouldn't be in it, actually, because we probably, from like their perspective, it probably just looked like we didn't even like...
Maybe it was our guardian angel. Because I remember when I grew up going to Catholic school, they always romanticized guardian angel so much. Did they do that at PRE?
When I think of, they probably did, but what I associate guardian angels with so much is turning 16 and putting a guardian angel on your rearview mirror.
Oh.
Because it keeps you safe.
But yeah, apparently, there was one teacher at the Catholic school who really emphasized guardian angels. And the whole lore is like everybody has their own one that looks over them. But then I remember the teacher said some people, they actually see their guardian angels. Like people have stories of like they're in a car wreck and then like, somebody grabbed them and moved them out of the way. And then I remember I always was thinking when I was like in first grade, like, when am I going to see mine? And I remember one time I was at the bike trail near our house and I started falling into this ditch thing kind of because it was like not quicksand, but it kind of felt like it was like this dirt. And then like my shoe got stuck in it.
You so badly want to be in a Disney Channel original movie. I think that literally happens in a Star Trek. They're driving a car with that stolen night guy and they get getting quicksand.
No, but it actually was my foot got stuck in this mud on the bike trail and it started like pulling me down and I had to like take off my, I think I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And no, then this guy, like a motorcycle man, he was wearing like a white t-shirt, black tight jeans. And then he helped me out and then he just went around the corner and then he wasn't there. Like he probably just went to like where he was. But in my first grade mind, I was like, after hearing about these guardian angels at Catholic school, I was like, that literally was my guardian angel because I was like, he saved me. And then I remember I was like, where did he go? Like, I literally saw my guardian angel.
Wait, you're telling me he was on a motorcycle, parked it, and went to the bike trail?
He just looked like a motorcycle, like a James Dean type. It was basically James Dean.
Was he walking then?
Oh. Yeah, he just came from around the corner in the bike trail, and he was wearing this tight white shirt and these black like jeans, like a James Dean person, basically. He rescued me from the quicksand in the middle of Nebraska. There somehow is quicksand. But it was like this mud or whatever that captured my shoe. And then he just helped me and then he went about his way. And I was like, wait, like the guardian angel.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I've seen my guardian angel.
So what, like, is that mentioned in like the Bible? Everyone has a guardian angel?
No, I'm starting to wonder.
Like
are guardian angels actually a
part? I didn't know it was that
part?
Much part of Catholicism.
No, that's what I'm wondering now. Like, but in whatever grade that was, first or second grade, they really talked about guardian angels. But I don't know if it's more of a little kid thing in the Catholic Church or is it actually like a real thing? Because that is kind of a, even just no religion, that's kind of just a fun thing, being like, my guardian angel, like even in more spiritual senses, don't they say like my higher self?
No, that's what I was thinking when you mentioned guardian angel. That's why I didn't what I'm going to say is like, I feel like that's a thing in like so many like belief systems, not even religion, just like spiritual type stuff that you're saying. But Do you think anyone in fourth grade heard about a guardian angel and ever since they've had some form of mental illness?
That's a thing.
Because they keep thinking like, wait, is that them? They keep looking
in the
corner. I feel
like sometimes these religions do cause mental illness because I've seen TikToks about that.
You have?
Where they said like they would always be praying as a kid and then all of a sudden like they'd hear like a demon saying like 666 and they'd be like, no, get out of my brain. it kind of causes mental illness because then they tell you like God will talk to you. So then like you start hearing like a voice in your head and then like all of a sudden the demons are talking. People like this did TikTok saying, did anyone else like always get so mad and like they heard the devil talking when they were a kid?
Oh no, I feel like
they just like created that, obviously.
Yeah, that's just so believable and makes so much sense, especially for kids.
And I mean, yeah, this whole guardian angel thing, I feel like, yeah, maybe I hallucinated that whole thing with the biker man. Like maybe it does cause this whole thing where like now all of a sudden you think there's a guardian angel behind you.
Something that recently where we kind of like heard about guardian angels was this like medium, I think is what she was, told us that both of us have ancestors watching over us. And we didn't ask. I don't know if that's everyone has ancestors watching over them, but when she said that, that to me kind of like, I associated that in the realm of like guardian angels.
Oh yeah, like your ancestors are looking over you, helping you along the journey.
If that is true, that's kind of crazy.
I know.
Popping in every now and then.
So yeah, say hi to your guardian angel, guys.
Yeah, mine is named Timothy.
Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah.
So another thing we all want to talk about is how Britney Spears smoked a cigarette on a plane.
Wait, is it private or what?
I think it might have been private, which makes it a little bit less funny. I wish it was a commercial Southwest flight that she lit a cigarette on, but she lit a cigarette on a plane and they told her, like, you can't do that. But then she did this whole apology on Instagram that was like, I love how whenever she writes something, it's like a whole paragraph and it's like a piece of art. But she was saying,
I need to read these more because like I'm so interested in her, but I'm not paying attention fully.
But it was something about, oh yeah, once I heard she lit a cigarette on a plane, though, like it just, I clicked on that and then the algorithm kept showing me all the updates. But I think she made it all funny describing it. Like she kind of also was like lying in the apology. Like she said, it was my first time ever drinking vodka. It's like, girl, aren't you like, obviously you've had vodka before. And then she also said, then all these people were noticing me and I was like, wait, am I famous or something? And it's like, obviously, you know you are. And then I think she even said it was her first time on an international flight. It's like, girl, obviously it wasn't. But I love all the excuses, you know?
No, like
I love smoking on a cigarette and then pretending it's your first time ever on an international flight.
I feel like it's one of those things where I'm just hearing the apology that you're repeating and I'm just taking everything and like letting it soak. I'm not even judging. It's more of coming from an energy of like, I don't think that's true, but like I just want to fully.
Well, she
like,
literally has done world tours.
Yeah. but wait. So she said all of this about and it all comes from the smoking a cigarette on a plane.
I think she was just saying like she didn't like how they treated her, and she kind of felt like she was deceived or something. It was something like
she didn't like how the social media treated her.
No, the people on the plane. Like they were saying, like they like grabbed me when I started smoking it, and she's like, get out of my space. I'm all just paraphrasing all this, but. Yeah, she lit a cigarette.
Is there a video or picture? Oh, is
no.
It more of this whole
and
talking
I think
about
she also
it?
Defended herself because I'm pretty sure it was a private jet. And she was like, some of them you can smoke on.
Wait, for real?
I have a picture of some of these private jets. Like people would say, oh yeah, smoke on it.
Back in the day, you could smoke on planes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it probably isn't the safest, but people sometimes.
That's so funny, lighting up a cigarette on a plane. Like that is. That'd be so funny to do if there was a way to rewind life.
I know. That's why whoever created the universe didn't create a way to rewind life. Because you know people would be doing, like, the craziest shit.
I know. Basically, you would never get through a day in life if you could rewind. Because you'd always be doing all this dumb shit.
Oh, yeah. Because even when I wake up in the morning, I would be like, okay, but, like, what if I did this right now? And then I would do it and then rewind and say, okay. Though, I think I'd still be 5 years old.
Literally, I'll still be five.
No one has tried it, though. It could be a thing.
Open
Have you ever seen Click by Adam Sandler?
Oh, that movie, he has the ability to do that.
That movie.
Doesn't he just fast forward all his family experiences?
That was such a depressing movie,
I know, it made a straight dad seem so depressing. Like, he literally hated his whole family. Every time he was with his family, he'd fast forward through it, like, didn't he also, like, whenever he saw a girl jogging, he would do a slow motion and see her boobs go up and down?
I know. That movie, I know it's just a comedy movie, but when I was watching it, I was viewing it as, like, a drama. And I just was like, if this is actually how people live, like, this is so depressing.
I know.
Because then when, I think there was a scene where he was going to have sex with his wife, but then he fast forward having sex. But then throughout the movie, it was just such a weird thing because then he would, like, stop for all these women and, like, see their boobs jiggle, their butt jiggle. And then it was this whole thing of, like, someone wrote this movie and it's maybe, like, a slice of their brain. And it's like,
yeah.
We should do a science project.
And also, his character is just so unlikable, but he's the main character. But like, maybe in the early 2000s, like, that was likable.
That's what I was going to say. I just feel like maybe we were viewing it in this way, but in, like, then when the movie came out, it was more of a vibe of, oh, we all know that guy. Like, you know, have one of those people.
I just saw a trailer for his new movie. He's in Happy Gilmore, too. Did you ever watch the first Happy Gilmore? It's like a golf movie?
I was about to say Gilmore Girls. I was going to say, that's a TV show.
It's a golf movie, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, but is that a comedy or drama?
Yeah, I remember watching all these growing up. It's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
But then speaking of old comedy movies that are coming back, Ariana Grande is going to be in the new Ben Stiller movie, Meet the Parents 4.
Okay, now, what is Meet the Parents? I did see this.
It's the Ben Stiller movie where it's a whole like series of movies, but it's basically just about, he's like a male nurse, and then he goes and meets her parents like before they get married, and it's just like everything goes wrong because he's like trying to impress them.
Oh, so it's kind of a wedding movie.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that has died in the past few years. Wedding movies. I feel like when I was a child, we'd always be watching movies that were centered around these 20-year-olds usually, like people in their 20s. Getting married and like things would fall apart.
Yeah, like being the bridesmaid and all that stuff.
Yeah, even Bridesmaids, that wasn't that long ago. That kind of is like the same thing.
I think there was like a Katherine Heigl movie, like where 27 dresses, where it's all about she's always the bridesmaid, but she has 27 bridesmaids dresses and she's never been the bride.
Oh.
Like that whole vibe, you know?
Yeah, like no one, hey, yeah.
It's like, when will it ever be her turn?
Yeah.
When will she ever be picked?
Actually, though, when will her King Charming or Prince Charming ever come? back to the Britney Spears thing. It would be such good promo. Like any pretty big celebrity, that'd be good promo if they're doing a movie or something. It would just be so funny. Like, there's probably so many big celebrities that actually travel like this, but I'm picturing more of like a Charlie XCX type celebrity because you know how they act so bougie and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They would create like a fake Twitter account and they'd show them on like the Southwest plane in the back in the middle. Basically the whole promo for an album would be, they would try to circulate enough drama on social media to be like, they're broke now. That's why they're doing another album.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Because I think that's always been a thing, saying, like, celebrities are broke. Oh, my gosh.
Like, don't they show, and they take photos of all these celebrities and coach, and they're like, what happened?
Yeah. But, yeah, anything else we should talk about?
I don't think.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm good.
Well, have a good week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.